Have you heard from anybody else, Starby, as to whoever might not be attending? I know you mentioned, we did hear something from Marcy. She's not able to attend.
Yeah, other than Marcy, no, I haven't heard anything else.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we still need a few more, right, in order to have a forum. Or at least one more?
Yeah. I was trying to count.
Here we go.
Here's Ellen.
Oh. Hi.
Hello.
All right. Well, it looks like we have a quorum. Do you want to go ahead and start, or do you want to start with anything else that you?
Nope, there's nothing else for me. Okay. I can go ahead and start sharing the presentation, though.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. And are we? Do we have to record, or are we not recording?
I'm recording the audio.
Okay, sounds good. All right, well, welcome everyone. I hope you're all doing all right. Let's see, so I think Darby is putting up the screen presentation. While she's doing that, we'll just kind of go ahead and take a look at the consent agenda. We have the agenda for today and then the minutes from last month's meeting. So I don't know if anyone had any modifications or any concerns or questions or changes to those, but if not, we will just go ahead and approve those. All right, so it sounds like we don't have any modifications, so do we have a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve.
All right, a second.
I second that motion.
All right. Thanks, John. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thank you. And so the first item up on the agenda is old business. And so I know we have, Talamy, I think you probably, I guess everyone else, well, you and John both probably were not around when we started this process with the downtown walking brochure a few years ago, but I think Ellen and Rebecca and I were both a part of the committee that helped get that together. But just to kind of get everybody up to date, a couple of years ago when Marcy was on the commission previously, she had done a lot of work and research for putting together historic downtown walking tours because, with her role at the library, she would get a lot of requests for that and have different groups. She was also giving, I think, tours for Vision Transylvania and some other different groups. And so we had met with, between the JHPC and Heart of Brevard and, library, and kind of we're trying to kind of look at, what a downtown recognition program might look like or how we could kind of look at, helping to recognize historic downtown buildings. And so I think we came up with a lot of ideas of what we could do, but a lot of it was kind of, it was hard to kind of look at where you could put plaques or, kind of going further with that. So then we kind of, I think, settled on, something we can do right now without involving too many other groups is putting together a brochure and making it accessible on the website. And so if you go on our website now, there is a link to a brochure that we actually applied for a grant with Transylvania County Tourism and with joint funds, I believe, from them and also from the Heart of Brevard. And I can't remember, Darby, if we found out if the JHPC actually contributed some funds to that or if it was just kind of work that we put into it. But we created a more graphic kind of professional brochure. We had developed it as a kind of paper pamphlet that was informally used and then we pay to have a graphic designer make it look a little nicer. And so that's available at the visitor center, and I think it was also available at the library and some other places. But it's also on our website. And if you go to our website, if everybody's paying attention, I don't know if you've really looked at it, you can also kind of click on each of the buildings that are on that and get a little bit more information. And so, you know, one of the things that came up was, since we're, not really able to get together and trying to think of other things we could do, and also since we know there are funds from Transylvania County Tourism available, they are interested in kind of promoting tourism and, preservation or, kind of heritage tourism as a part of that, and anything that kind of helps promote people, downtown as well as in other parts of the county is something they're interested in. And so we've done a little bit more exploration into that. And so we kind of looked at, one starting place would be to expand the historic downtown walking brochure, because there's already additional research and photos that, that's been done, and it would just require kind of using a larger format brochure with more panels to put more buildings on it and making it more, a little bit more thorough. It kind of was limited, and I can't remember without looking at it. I don't have it right in front of me, but to maybe, to a dozen buildings or something just based on the size of the pamphlet and the brochure. So it kind of skipped a certain number of buildings downtown, and it actually, was a little more focused on just some buildings that happened to relate to this tour group that it was going through. And then the other thing that we talked about was that if we wanted to look at expanding and doing like a driving tour to other parts of the county. And so, I think that was something that Marcy, who's, unfortunately not able to be here, but, I think she, says people, there has been interest in that before. We have had a few conversations with Transylvania County Tourism about this. And so they are definitely interested in anything that would help bring people to other parts of the county rather than just focusing on downtown, although these would kind of be, different brochures. However, the one sort of caveat with kind of going through Transylvania County Tourism is that with their application process, they don't want to be the sole funder of any project. They really want people to come to them with some, already some funds in place or some people who have agreed to help fund this, and also a commitment to do the work. I think with some of these other grants, it sounds like people come to them and kind of have an idea, and they're relying on their staff and their resources to really make it come to fruition. Whereas, we, I think, would have this people here, and hopefully with our commission, to volunteer to help do some of the research and put some of the information and kind of make those connections of reaching out to those homeowners or property owners to see if they're willing to be on a tour. Not people are going to be stopping in and visiting their house, but that they're willing to have people kind of come drive by. We would really need to be responsible for a lot of that legwork. I think the bigger thing here is trying to think of how can we, we certainly could submit a grant application with doing all this kind of legwork of how we want to proceed without any funding partners, but it may not get approved. Or if we can maybe start to think a little bit about who those opportunities and funding partners might be. I think when Marcy and I kind of talked about it, it's like, well, a lot of the local historical societies don't really have many funds either. Once you start going outside of downtown, Heart of Brevard might be a resource for a downtown brochure because their funds can only be used within the downtown Heart of Brevard district, but they can't fund anything, outside of that area. So we need to kind of be creative about that. So I think just to kind of think of the right kind of a background of kind of where we are, and just wanted to kind of open it up for discussion to see if this is something that, we think we want to kind of further investigate and what our thoughts are about how we might move forward with this.
I believe back in maybe 2007, when the Transylvania Heritage Coalition first started up, they created a driving tour of Transylvania County brochure. I have that at the museum. I haven't obviously looked at it in a while, but it had some of the basic things. It might be kind of a good thing to look at just to see what was on it. And then as far as some of the other some of the other places, you might could get some of the local, let's say we're sending them up to Lake Toksaway to see something, to drive by. You may could get some of the businesses to partner with you as far as financing. Because I don't think the cost would be all that bad, but I think that that is, if you are trying to drive people to that area, you might get some, you may get some assistance from some of those folks, I think.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Same thing if you have a site in maybe the town of Rosman. You may could go to the town of Rosman. They may help be one of your partners. Because that's one of the things I think if you get outside, if, you know, not completely outside, I think you have to have some places downtown as well. But I think if you do a tour that has some Pisgah Forest area in it, I think that's actually a good beneficial thing to do. Somebody wants to take a day or a weekend and visit some parts of the county that may not get, they don't get the recognition for their history as much as downtown does. Does that make sense? I think that might be a good, we may find partners that we, it would be very happy to partner with us because they're not often asked.
Melanie, my question would be, you mentioned that the county wants a partner. I mean, how much of a partner? How much? Because
it seems that they ask, they do use in-kind, if I'm not mistaken. The Heart of the Bar does use some in-kind, because it's a matching. The Heart of the Bar likes to see that you're matching.
Right. So, and let me just clarify. So, the Transylvania County Tourism Grant is, their maximum grant is $3,000. And that will, that can be, you know, if we wanted to kind of lump these, if we decided an overall kind of driving tour of Transylvania County and a kind of revamp of this, you know, the downtown one, if together, that's going to cost us $5,000. I don't know. You know, we could ask for up to $3,000, you know, from the county. Transylvania County Tourism. Make sure, this is through tourism, you know, not Transylvania County. So it's not Heart of Brevard either. But, you know, Heart of Brevard could be a partner, anything downtown that, you know, to help match that. Because you're right, they would like to have a match. But the other thought, the other kind of thing to think about is, you know, Transylvania County Tourism is willing to give each group sort of one grant per year. So if, depending on what it costs, and I don't really know, I can't remember yet, we have to look back at it, that if we wanted to, you know, if it's going to cost, you know, $3,500 to do one tour and then another $3,500 for another tour, if we had different partners, somebody different could apply for the different tours so that we could kind of get more funds if, you know, like you said, the town of Rosman or somebody, or some other group out of Rosman applies for the one that's countywide, or if, you know, Heart of Brevard applies for the one, you know, that's downtown or, you know.
Right.
So there are creative ways. They're willing to kind of work with us, and they even suggested that once you kind of get a better idea of what it's going to cost to do that, you know, then that might help decide how you break it up and who actually requests the funds. You know, we certainly could offer to do the legwork of filling out the grant application for somebody who's willing to apply for it if they don't have other grant requests that they would want to use. So we want to make sure we think about that as well. But it does seem, I think we also kind of want to think a little bit holistically of, and maybe a good starting point is that existing kind of countywide tour, because, you know, where do we start? Is it a big picture? This is kind of giving you a glimpse of Transylvania County, and it's hitting all of our kind of, you know, key historic areas and just giving you a taste of a little bit of everything. And then do you kind of have the opportunity to develop, well, this is all in, a, you know, in Rosman, or here, you know, I know there's already kind of the development of the tour, like through Rosenwald, you know, with Morning Glories, you know, that, you know, so there's ways we can kind of connect to some of those things, or look at Cedar Mountain, you know, as like a region where you could, you know, spend more time in that area. So there are a lot of different ways we could kind of put it together. So I think we're going to just need some time before we actually put in a grant application, you know, to kind of really think how this wants to be done.
Well, I wonder, too, I mean, but when I think of a tour, I'm thinking of, you know, conventionally, like a downtown tour, I think is different than a driving tour. A downtown tour, I'm assuming that this is print media. This is something where you pick up a map, basically. A driving tour, I think it would be nice, and I don't know what this means budget-wise, but I think there's plenty of apps that I know of that will show you where you are, help you navigate, and also give you a little bit of information, you know, enough information, probably as much as you would have on a, you know, on a map. And it would actually help you navigate. So, and the other thing, I mean, this is just, I'm thinking out loud, the other thing it would do, it would also be something that is, you know, that could be a living document that could be edited and added to.
Right.
I mean, is that something that we're conceptualizing about a some sort of tour
making
guide?
App for it? Yeah.
Yeah, or, I mean, I'm sure that, I would imagine that there are templates out there, and it's sort of like populate and, you know, fill it out kind of thing. So it seems like it wouldn't be a big, you know, a really expensive endeavor. Maybe even less so than hard copy prints. I don't know.
Right. Well, and I think sorry, go ahead.
I agree with that. I think that you could really just have like one big map that's all in the app, and then someone would know, oh, I'm in this area, and would see what is around them in the area. Which could also cut down on costs instead of having multiple ones for different areas of the county.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if you were doing a print, it would be wise to do more of a broad, some of the main area, like some of your areas and some of the bigger historic places. But then, as far as partnering, let's say you do, you visit the Rosenwald School, the education building. But that is a site, and you can have information about it, that you could always have as a part of that some kind of contact information for Morning Glory. Or some of the other, like if you want to learn more about this community, contact these folks. Same thing with Lake Toxaway. There's other groups. You could send for more detailed in that area. You could put that contact information. So I think as far as a driving tour, you want the broader strokes to kind of give people a flavor of different communities. But if they get interested in one and they want to know more, you can always add that to it. Same thing with it being an app. I mean, you have that same ability that to learn more, you could just visit one of those websites. You can't put everything in print, and you couldn't put everything on app. But you could at least give contact information so people could find them if they were interested.
You know, I think that's a good point, that I think whether it's kind of all digital, like through an app, and I know because we can kind of tourism and read on their website, so I think there are probably ways that we could help link to that. You know, I think one of the comments, and I think we need to think about this too, if, you know, they're always trying to drive, I think some people, if they're giving money, you know, right, if they're giving you a grant, they want, you know, we have to kind of say this is funded and kind of give them credit. And they're also always trying to kind of drive people to, you know, like the visitor center.
Actually.
So I think, right, to actually come there. And that was kind of one of the comments on if we updated the downtown brochure that maybe you could start there, like this is a starting point, and then you walk, you know, and so maybe, it, you know, I agree that it, and I think also thinking about different clientele, of like who is most apt to use these. I think there's certain people that are going to be very technical and app savvy that are willing to do historic tours, but I also think there are certain people that love historic tours but want to have a map in their hand and like a brochure when they're doing it. So I think thinking about that and kind of, you know, just having an option for both. Go ahead, Tom.
Just to jump in, I was thinking about if you've ever been at a hotel and you know they have the big, huge map of the area. It's like looks like a placemat.
Yep.
And it has different, and it's just of the area. And it can go as far as the county if you like. But a lot of people, it's kind of like a treasure map, so like hunt versus an app. Like me personally, on an app, it's like, okay, what if you're on that app and you're going in a place where there's no signal, like the cops away,
Prince County, yes.
Right. So if you have that physical piece of paper in your hand, you know, it's like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then along the way, there's little things that you also find going to the bigger things.
Right. Mm-hmm. That is true, and I literally have those kind of maps of every historic town I've ever been. I have a whole stack of them. That's like my keepsake. So I would totally do the map before I do an app. But that
I like the apps a lot, especially like if you're in a big city. They typically have one of like just downtown, which is nice.
So it sounds like we're all in agreement that this is something we should further explore. And I guess kind of think what our, I think it's something that we should maybe, sort of help set like a sort of subcommittee that we can get started and then kind of further develop this and kind of come back with some better ideas of how we should go about it and organize it and, you know, places we should put on a tour. So, I guess this is a question of who might be willing. I know, you know, Marcy said she is definitely very willing to help with research and kind of documentation. I don't think she's really willing to kind of head organizing the effort. So I don't know if there's anyone that really does feel strongly about helping to get this off the ground.
Well, I'm fearful to say anything. We got Preservation Month coming up, and I kind of feel like that's probably going to be, I've got a lot with that. I don't mind helping on that committee, and I can probably, because Marcy and I work well together, and she's not on this call, so you may not want to be involved in all the planning of it, but I think if we sit down and talk, we could probably get some starts on that. So I don't think it should just be us, but I'm willing to at least work on that project with her. And I also have the other one, like I told you, that we could look at and just kind of see what was on it, if those are still pertinent, what we might want to add. So that's, you know, something to start with anyway. So,
John, are you willing to do a little research on the app
I do recognize there are a lot of areas in our county where there is no service, but there are some that allow you to, I know I've got some maps that they still show you where you are, and you know, you can use them offline, so that's something, I'll look at that.
Well, and I wonder if this is a good, as far as in preparation for, you know, Preservation Month. I mean, is some of the kind of initial legwork of this, can it be part of that? I don't know, I'm trying to think of not necessarily thinking of it as a separate project completely, but.
Right. Well, I don't think we could get, we couldn't get this done by Preservation Month, but one of the things that I had thought we might could do is do some walking tours. So, I mean, that's more like your downtown. I don't know. It might be something we could kind of promote when we're making trying to gather partners. It might be worth using that as a springboard for it.
Okay.
Now I know with the Rosenwald tour, I literally have three of those plaques in my front yard. And so there have been several groups of Brevard College students coming through. And I was outside the other day, and they were asking questions, and it kind of, like, prompted me to go find out for my dad some things, because I didn't realize that there was literally a church that was my front yard now. But there was a church that had burned down that was one of the first churches that was here. So I think the walking tour is a good idea to see maybe what more people would want. Would people want to go further out in the county? And what areas are people more interested in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I, I actually went to the visitor center and picked up the brochure somewhere around here for Rosenwald. And I know they said, because, you know, there's a brochure anybody can see, but so this is the brochure for that, and then there's kind of like a handout that's all the different points, you know, so there's I guess a total of 43 locations. And one thing I guess is still in process is development of a map on that. And so I don't know, you know, that's another, I mean, that's always an opportunity if we can kind of reach out that, you know, are there ways if we're kind of doing these other brochures and kind of things, can we help, you know, collaborate and create the map maybe that goes with this? Or I don't know if it's already almost close to being done or what, you know, but we might want to kind of look into that as well. So I don't know, do we need any sort of formal vote or recommendation here, Darby, or can we just kind of make a plan to report back next month that we can kind of start looking at, you know, kind of what an app might look like and what, you know, if there's templates out there or what that might cost or if there's, you know, limits to that, and then kind of thinking, looking at the old brochure, and then just kind of coming up with a framework for what we think, and then I think maybe if Rebecca, if you and Marcy are able to maybe take the lead and kind of just looking at what we've had in the past, and then kind of seeing where we are, and then we can kind of bring that back, and maybe all kind of talk about it. I guess. Well, it's very hard to kind of pull some sort of monetary, you know, estimates at this point. Do we really have a better idea of what we want to do? Unless we kind of know an app will cost this much to purchase. But
yeah, can we just do a little homework between now and our next meeting, and then kind of reconvene, talk about next steps?
And I guess one question would be, so would we want to kind of focus all efforts on kind of this broader county and kind of just leave the downtown historic brochure kind of as is and not really think about that and just kind of focus on one? Or do we want to kind of try to look at both and kind of, after we do a little homework, create sort of like two subcommittees or something to work on some of those? You may have strong feelings. I think I looked at the downtown historic for sure.
we that thing goes like hotcakes. We gave so many of those away. I think it's fantastic the way it is. I don't think it.
Okay.
I think if we got to have our resources, we want to focus on something. A new driving tour, I think, would be the thing to focus on for now because the other one's really fantastic already.
Right. Okay. I think with that, though, I think figuring out a plan for how to keep print copies of that, because I think that's what we found between, you know, there's been some change of staff at Transylvania County Tourism, and, you know, I think also with the county, because this was done a couple of years ago, that we thought they were reprinting brochures, but apparently they don't have any anymore, and they say they don't have a way to print them, so I don't, you know, we might need to kind of explore that a little further with them to make sure that they've got some funds to print to keep those up to date. But we can certainly kind of table that and help bring another brochure, you know, or tour up to, I guess, into fruition. and then kind of work on that, so. So, Darby, is that something that you can talk to Transylvania County Tourism to kind of further understand how we can keep a better supply of the downtown brochures in the office there?
Yeah, we tend to just apply for that grant to get the brochure reprinted. That's how it seems previous staff did. And like I said, I applied for it. I think it was last year, and then COVID hit, and they weren't sure if they would have funds. And before Ms. Prentice left TDA, she did contact me and say that they are actually going to get that grant, and that's the last time I've heard, but I can definitely reach out to the new person who took over for her just to see kind of where that is.
Okay. I think that's just one thing to think about. If they're using that grant money to actually print them, then that doesn't necessarily give us the resources, you know, or gives us less resources to develop a new one, and just kind of understanding you know, are there other ways we can get that printed other than having to reapply for a grant every time? Like what, you know, is that, yeah. All right, any other thoughts or discussion on the tours?
Well, not specifically on that, but I just wanted to mention, you mentioned something about plaques when you first brought up the subject. And at one point there was a plaque program for local landmarks, and that the JHPC, you know, was basically offering plaques to people, you know, who wanted to buy them. I don't know how successful it was, and it was not during a time period when I was on JHPC, but I know we bought one, and there's one on our office building. So, like I said, there may just be Twitter. I don't have any idea how many people bought them, but there was a program.
And was that specific to properties that were just locally designated landmarks?
Yeah, they're locally designated.
Okay.
I thought I had a picture of it, and I don't.
Okay.
I think it's.
Is it this? Yeah, I don't know if there's any more. There's one here. So.
All right. Well, and that's probably a bigger discussion of the, you know, if we have locally designated landmarks, you know, as we move into, I guess, their next agenda item, deciding what things are worthy of being local landmarks and what are other historic buildings that we think are important to get some sort of recognition if we're trying to promote preservation in a different way than local landmarks, would we want to kind of come up with an alternative program, that doesn't have the requirements of local landmarks, but also wouldn't have the benefit of the tax deferral. It would be just more kind of historic, you know, recognition. So those all seem like really big topics to try to tackle in one meeting, but I think it's worth us trying. I think, you know, after a little bit, just kind of thinking about our local landmarks and kind of going through the training with Christy Brantley at the state. And, you know, I don't know if we've gotten any applications, but, you know, I guess we kind of had that question of, you know, what is deserving of being a local landmark and what is not necessarily, because, you know, she was kind of trying to push us to think about, you know, what's sort of the, I think even some of the information that Darby sent out as part of the agenda packet really talked about, you know, what's really kind of exceptionally, you know, significant and, you know, unique and important for Transylvania County. Not just, you know, is it 50 years old and does it, you know, have some sort of integrity or associated with a significant person, or, you know, what is it that should be really important to us and we should prioritize? And so I guess, hopefully everybody had a chance to read through the information that Darby sent, that Christy had provided. But I think I just kind of want to open up the conversation just for general discussion, because, you know, I think one of the things that kind of prompted it before, for everyone who may not have been a part of these meetings, you know, until the beginning of the year, you know, was when we were looking at an application, which still hasn't really moved forward or in any direction, for the old Brevard City Hall. So, you know, that's an old brick building, but it's like one of the original, you know, City Hall, Fire Department, all these other historic, you know, uses for downtown. You know, now it kind of was gutted. The interior is, you know, really gone, but the exterior is somewhat intact, although a lot of renovation work was done. And, you know, they applied for a local landmark designation for that, but we didn't really think their application, and the state didn't think their application was really up to par for what is needed for a local landmark. So I think that's kind of one of the things that prompted the discussion. So I guess I would open it up to kind of what people, kind of general discussion about looking at like what we have locally designated already. You know, we have a lot, we have a few sort of key buildings, but we also have a lot of kind of residential, you know, structures that are representative of a certain architectural style or tied to, you know, certain, you know, key people in the community. You know, thoughts about what are we lacking in sort of local landmarks or what would we want to kind of prioritize. So I'll stop talking and try to open it up for other discussion. But.
You know, my thoughts on this is we kind of have, again, it's a little bit like the tour question. I kind of feel like there's a standard or a set of criteria for in town that might not be applicable to the county and vice versa. You know, I know it seems like there's a lot of focus on the city and the historic part of the city, which makes sense. But I think that there's maybe a different criteria. I mean, I know this may not seem good, but I kind of feel like there should be some sort of plaque for the guy that died on Memorial Day with the soapbox car races. I know that sounds terrible, but and you have to get a lot of people to agree with it. But.
Well, I think one of the things that's really important to remember is that we're a Historic Preservation Commission, not a History Commission. And so we're talking about the built environment. You know, we're not, yes, the built environment can be associated with a special event, but we're really looking at buildings and structures. And that's the whole point of the commission. And so it's a little bit, you know, that's what we really should be focusing on. And I'm more concerned about whether the building is still historic, has historic integrity. You know, has it been so changed that all that's left of the historic fabric or elements of the building are the brick? You know, like all the windows have been changed, door openings have been changed. You know, everything about it is. You know, how much of the exterior of that building is actually historic and how much of it is actually new? You know, has some major feature of the building been changed? You know, is it intact?
Actually, Ellen, I'm with you on that. I mean,
some of the things that we really need to be talking about.
Yeah, like if all the, it's almost like if you have a building and then you have a plaque next to the building that explains how it's historic, you know, but you can't see in the building itself, the building is an evidence of those things, and it's kind of like, well, you know, it'd be nice if there were some sort of history of the build, you know, that you didn't have to rely just on the story on the, that goes with the plaque.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Melanie was talking about with the old Brevard City Hall building. That, you know, really all that's left of that building that's historic is the exterior brick and the floor structure inside. You know, all those things that I mentioned before have changed. So, you know, from a standpoint that building is really significant to our county's history because it was the first city hall and that sort of thing, it may qualify. But if that building were just a, you know, building on its own somewhere, it would, I might say that it doesn't qualify. Right?
So I think that's the hard, I think that's what's really hard with what we're doing. Is that weight? Because so many years ago, it really didn't matter how important what happened somewhere was, or how someone who lived there was very significant. It was all about the architecture and the integrity of the building itself, that it hadn't been changed. So I think, and I felt like that really wasn't, I didn't like that a lot either, but if you're not careful, we're basically not preserving a structure at all, we're just preserving a memory or a site.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? I mean, so if that's the problem with this, is it's really, just like Ellen is saying, if that building was anything other than what it is, it don't matter how old it was, it wouldn't have that much, it wouldn't be that significant. The only thing it's got going for it is that it was the first building built to be a city hall and the fire department. That's really its claim, because like there's not a lot left historically of the building.
And it is associated with famous people, yes.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Now, in that regard, so it's a little bit of a
substitute. It does, yeah.
No, but there's lots of other buildings downtown that have been altered significantly.
Yeah, that's true.
Stucco, the windows have been changed out, so, you know, I can't think of an example right now that it may still be considered in the National Register report. I mean, typically, they're non-contributing at that point, but not, I mean, downtown's sort of special case because we have a historic district to kind of guide us as to whether something's contributing or not contributing to that decision. You know, if it's just a freestanding structure somewhere, the architectural integrity is going to be as important as, you know, it being significant to history or events or people.
Well, and I guess I would add too, like thinking, and I know not that we are certainly not focusing only on downtown, because I think the majority of our landmarks are not downtown. You know, we only have a few. So, but if, you know, we did, when we kind of sent letters, we started with that National Register nomination and sent, you know, to a lot of properties that were downtown saying you may be eligible. And I think there are a lot of buildings that are, yes, they have integrity as a commercial, historic, you know, sort of building that helps make up the feel of downtown and, you know, as a part of it, but, you know, is it just a commercial building? Or, yeah, that what would make it more significant than the commercial building on the block across the street, unless there was a significant sort of architectural style that more so than just historic commercial brick building, you know, or a certain use for that building that was especially important to, you know, the history of downtown or the community, or a certain person or event, you know, was tied to that. So I guess, you know, thinking about kind of throughout, if we're looking at the list of kind of what type of local landmarks that we currently have, do we feel like there are parts of our history that we just are not really celebrating in any sort of local landmark capacity that we should be kind of helping to seek those out or help work with property owners to kind of promote that?
There's probably more buildings in the Rosen Mall community that might. I mean, that's an easy one that comes to mind. I mean, the Rosen Mall School is listed, but not anything else in that part of town. We've also got several Rosen Mall schools or schools that were based on Rosen Mall plans that are out in the county.
Dunge Rock is one of those.
There's another one that I can't. Marcy was here because she could tell me exactly where it is. It's between Brevard and Rosemary.
Is this Salika?
Salika, yes, thank you.
I think they actually tried to approach this committee at some point in the past,
yeah.
And were told that it was.
It was under discussion at some point, but I don't remember what happened. It's also been altered.
I think it had been changed. The inside had been changed a lot.
Yes.
Even though it has a great history, and the outside is a lot. It's pretty similar. But I think that's one. And then I know Dunge Rock Community Center was the old Conestee School. It was also built that way.
Right. Well, and the other thing we've never looked at are agricultural buildings. You know, are there barns in this county that we should be?
Barns. Or some of the old mill houses.
Yes.
You had the Pisgah Mills, those houses. You have some down near Car Lumber. You have mill houses in the town of Rosman. Those are all very much a very specific looking kind of building for a economic part of our history. I can, those are the three I can think of. There's probably more.
Yeah.
Areas. I know cars, I know Car Lumber has some, and I know, is it Whitmire? What is that street?
It's Whitmire.
Okay.
It's,
okay.
Yeah, every time we drive down it, we think.
Yeah.
If there's, but I would also say if there's any industrial building maybe that aren't listed, you know, there is that history, but I don't know how many are still standing or anything like that.
There were some really wonderful buildings that were posted that got lost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was.
Lost not too long ago, which is, that would have made a great restaurant with the dining hall.
Right.
But I'm sure there's others.
I think the garage from the Gloucester Lumber Company is still, it's the only building still standing in Roslyn, other than the houses, that was part of Silverstein industry.
Okay.
It's still there. They've done, I mean, it's not been changed a lot, but they put siding or something on it. But it's still got the doors, and, I mean, it is the same. I mean, it's had some changes, but it is the original building. But I think it's the only building left in the town of Roslyn that goes to the Silverstein Industries. It's the only one left that was part of that. There may be another little house. It might have been an office, but I know of the garage for sure. So, but it's worth looking at some of those, just seeing what kind of shape they're in, and if. And I do like the idea, even though I know we want to designate. But there, I think there's significant buildings that are important for the recognition part of it, even if there's not some other kind of benefit to it. Kind of like I was just talking about the plaques in the Rosemont community. There may not be a building there, but sometimes things are still worth noting, I think, outside of just the tax breaks and the some of the criteria for that.
Right, like the North Carolina historical markers or things like
that. Yeah.
I would say the houses on Whitmire are not in very good shape in total.
Yeah. So. Well, I agree with that. I think the same thing with the ones down near Car Lumber. I don't think they're in the best shape either.
Well, and that's one thing to think. I mean, a lot of these, you know, nothing's really done with them, or maybe, you know, tried to push to preserve them. You know, they're just going to fall into complete disrepair and then get torn down and completely removed. So, I don't, you know, that's just ways we can help bring recognition and also help, you know, pair people with, you know, the right resources to help, you know, preserve or, you know, restore or kind of, you know, rehab or stabilize even, you know, just to keep things up a little bit longer until circumstances may change in the future to make it more approachable to do more work. You know, that might be another option as well.
I mean, it really seems like it's a blend of all of the things that are outlined in the state's kind of guidelines. I mean, it seems like it always takes a bit of judgment of balancing you know, whether it's an important person, whether it's, you know, significance, like the city hall. I think, I mean, that one, while it has been altered, what hasn't been altered is the scale and what it contributes to the streetscape, which is in, you know, kind of an older part of town. So it's hard to, like, if you got rid of that storefront, it would really change the streetscape, and it wouldn't feel like it did when it was probably around the time it was built or for the next 50 years after it was built. But, I mean, it does seem like it's always a bit of a, you know, that all of this stuff, you have to weigh each one of these things. And I think that every one of them will debate this.
Right. Well, and I think one of the other, I think it was point kind of number three in Christie's, her email that was part of the agenda packet, where basically she's saying that, yes, we have the standards that are, you know, sort of breaking out the rules of applying and kind of, you've got to have integrity, you've got to have all these things, but you have the ability, or we have the ability, to kind of put a few more policies in place to kind of help set the expectation so that if someone comes to us and says, you know, this building is, you know, it has a significant, you know, I don't know, event history, something, it's not really architecturally intact, that, you know, we're still willing to kind of overlook that. Because I think that even that's what one of those training videos through the state talked about, is that as a local landmark, you have superpowers, right? You don't have to meet all the guidelines of the National Register. But if we're willing to forego that, what restrictions do we want to place so that it's not always a subjective decision that somebody, you know, we want to sort of try to make it fair and outline it, so we don't want people to go to a lot of effort if we all decide, well, no, it's just not going to meet that requirement. But if we can put together a little bit more guidance, and I don't know what that looks like exactly, and I'm sure it would take some time for us to kind of develop that and kind of read through it and improve it, but something that helps it make easier for people to understand beyond all these standards that we have to meet. Because yeah, it is hard for people to understand some of that. So, and what we value, I think, is important. So, for the county, not our personal opinions. But, I guess the question is, do we feel like we need to spend more time in kind of putting more information, you know, guidance together or a policy, or are we okay kind of just talking about this and waiting for somebody to send an application? I'm not trying to like force something on the commission here, but I guess what are people comfortable with?
Hey, Melanie?
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in and let you know that staff could be available to do some research into the topic for you, look at what other commissions have approved in accordance with historical significance, and give the commission some material to work with and look at other examples, if that'd be helpful.
I think that would be helpful. I don't know if everyone else agrees. I think that would be a great starting point.
Yeah, and I've kind of already started talking with Christy about that, and I'll send another email out on the listserv for NC Preservation again and do some digging, and hopefully we can get some responses or at least some suggestions back, and I'll send that to you guys to review.
Okay, well, thank you. Is that something, do we want to kind of put that on the plate to kind of review at our next meeting, or do you think you're going to need more time, or what do you think would be the time frame to pull something like that together?
Staff is very busy right now. We're in the midst of trying to get through our small area plan process. We also currently working on our North Carolina General Statute 160B updates to our local ordinances. But I think if you were to give us 60 to 90 days, we could probably come up with some examples of local designations from other jurisdictions that were designated based on their historical significance.
Okay.
And depending on what you guys decide to do for the next agenda item for May, that also gives you next month to kind of really focus on that if you want them to. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be fine. If we're kind of really trying to do something for Preservation Month, I think, you know, we're going to need the bulk of the time probably in April, and I would say most likely in May as well, to kind of solidify that. So maybe if we just planned, I guess, June. Revisit that. Mm-hmm. All right. Any other comments on that before we move on to the preservation? All right. So Preservation Month. I think we've already kind of talked about a couple of ideas. And I know, Rebecca, you mentioned that you kind of had some other ideas. So if you wanted to kind of start the conversation, go ahead.
Normally, as usual, the Heritage Museum, what we normally do for Preservation Month is we partner with the other history organizations, and we kind of parse out, like there's 5 Saturdays, and we kind of either sometimes it's not on a Saturday, sometimes we may do like a Thursday, but we try to, each of us does some kind of historic preservation activity or event. And that way it's not on one group to try to do something all the time. But I've spoken with a couple people, and I have another, some more I need to speak with, but we had thought about putting together kind of a calendar of events. And if you think about, you know, that we can do the Heritage Museum, we can do, Marcy and I are talking about some tours that we might could do. I talked with Brenda today, and down at Silvermont, and we may be able to figure out a way to do something at Silvermont, even if it's on a smaller scale. I haven't talked to Emmett at the Military Museum, but since Memorial Day falls at the end of that month, and I think I sent a thing about the Heart of the Bard. I don't know where they're at on their festivals this year. Have they let us know if they're doing anything?
They just canceled White Squirrel Festival.
Okay, I knew that was kind of in the works, so I wasn't sure. The things we're thinking about doing would all be kind of outside things. And we have thought about just kind of getting together and making a Preservation Month poster and doing all of our events on one poster and just presenting it together. People who want to have a cemetery board meeting in the morning, and we normally do a cemetery cleanup day. We may pick a couple. So, I mean, we've got some things that I think we could do safely. I mean, we're not going to be having any big, you know, anything big. We're not going to have, like, open tours or anything. Or if we do something like that, like I said, it'll be more on a smaller scale. That's kind of what we're thinking about. And if you look at the groups we've got, and just with this group right now, Marjorie at the Historical Society and I, we've been talking about doing a lot coming together with the two organizations because we all face kind of the same problems. So I just think that this is a good opportunity to partner with not only the only group that I really don't have good connections with is the group in Lake Toxaway. That's the only one that I don't really just feel, I can't just call them up and talk to them and say, what do you want to do? If anybody there has a good in with some of those folks, I mean, I know some folks with the community center and things like that, but I don't have the person up there who I could really call and say, hey, do you want to try to do something? But that's kind of what we're looking at right now, and that's something we have to, I'm sorry, my husband's coming home, so my dog's barking like crazy. We have to, you know, we'll have to coordinate ourselves and come up with what we want, but as a group, I feel like we've got some good ideas, and, you know, maybe we could do, the JHBC could have some kind of presentation, even if it was online. I mean, because it doesn't have to be on Saturdays. It's any events that we can schedule during that month, we can add them to that. So even without the JHBC saying we want to do Preservation Month, that's something that we already do that as far as our groups do that. So, and last year we didn't get to do very much of anything. So everybody's pretty excited about some of those things. So I've got some things in the works that, like I said, I've talked to a couple people. I have a meeting tomorrow, so I can get back. But it's something, obviously, if we're going to promote it, we have to get this pretty much together so we can start promoting in April, you know, probably by the middle of April, get things on the calendar. So that's kind of where I'm at. So I'm open to whatever you guys would you.
Ms. Suddeth, we can, we have a couple contacts. And with staff with the Historic Toxaway Association, yes. If that's the group you're referring to.
That's who
I'm. And I'm sure that they would love to work with the commission on something for the month, and we're happy to put you in contact with them.
Mm-hmm. That would be great.
I think a couple other things, because I was also kind of looking at other ways to promote rather than you know, just kind of group activities, but also just kind of if we were to do a press release along with this, like awareness and kind of like say these are other ways to support and promote preservation in your town, where we could kind of promote doing your individual walking tours, and we could kind of provide links and access to, you know, the Rosenwald and downtown historic tours, but we could also kind of say, you know, hey, you can, you know, go shop and eat at local restaurants and businesses that are in historic buildings. buildings or, you know, kind of, I don't know, just, and one thing Marcy mentioned in an email, and this is kind of linked to the map that you were talking about before, of kind of maybe, you know, the chamber, I'm sorry, not chamber, but yeah, chamber has been doing scavenger hunts, and I guess they're doing one kind of focused on, you know, arts and music. You know, could we do one that's preservation focused? I don't know if we can pull that together by May, but maybe, I don't know. but those were some of the things that I had. Sorry, Alan, go ahead.
To that idea with some of the county outlets to share that information. Now, I don't know that you would want to plan something every day, a Facebook post every day, but I think that the county would love to of our historical property, something to the extent of like what you just said, et cetera, now located is this restaurant. Please take the time to visit and celebrate the month with us. If the commission wanted to work on write-ups for different properties, it'd be very easy for staff to effectively copy and paste those and post them on our social media outlets.
That would be good. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because I wasn't really sure what all we were doing or could do social media-wise, but that would be something that we could help promote and have a tagline, and surely somebody more savvy with social media could help create a kind of campaign for that, to where we could have a repository and kind of have something that would come back up preservation related to the county. So,
and we can repost anything that's in Brevard so that could spread it too.
Did we at one time, Ellen, do a like a scavenger hunt? It was different architectural features. I feel like we did that at some point, the one that comes to mind is the little cars that's on that corner building there where the antiques is now. It was like little photographs, and I feel like it might have been in the paper where they were by that. I'm in so many groups that I never remember who did what, but I seem to remember.
I don't remember that specifically, Rebecca.
I just wonder if that would be a nice scavenger.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
And I just got to find out who did that. I don't know if it was Marcy or just, I don't know which one of us did it. I know someone did it. But that might be an idea to do for a scavenger hunt for May. That would be kind of a fun one, I think.
You know, he passed away. It's my name, Jack, that was involved.
Reek? Jack Reek?
No.
Walking tour? Powers?
Powers, that's who it was.
Mm-hmm.
He's downtown walking tours, but that's all I remember right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, the museum has several. We have about six different themed walking tours of downtown. And Marcy and I are working on a women in history walking tour, one for East Main and one for West Main. And we may or may not have those two. The other six are ready to go because we normally do tours on the second Saturday of the month starting in April. So we have some tours we might could have a day, you know. So we have some stuff like that. It's just a matter of coordinating it and doing things in a way that's outside and safe for people to come. And then I think the social media aspect is great. And if we could get something in the paper, if we could get some articles in the paper, even if they're just short blurbs about something, just to get it, people's, they see it every week, I think that would be helpful too.
Well, I think as far as the calendar events, you said, Rebecca, that really needs to kind of be done pretty quickly. I think, I don't know for sure, but it seems like we might have a little more time if we're doing like scavenger hunt or kind of other virtual and social media ways that we can kind of brainstorm on that individually and maybe kind of spend some time next month if we really kind of focus our entire meeting time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I've got another meeting tomorrow. Probably by the end of the week, the end of next week, I should have dates for who's doing what. As far as like Allison Dever House may be open for special tours on Saturday the 1st or just something like that. And then, like I said, some folks can't do a Saturday. They may do a cemetery cleanup on a Thursday. I'll find out about that tomorrow. So, the town is, I feel like the city of Brevard does a cleanup, it's a bigger cleanup during May. I feel like they've done that in the past as well, and I'd be worth finding out what if they're planning anything too. I think that the point is to get as many things and to put them together as one thing. Not just us talking about what the museum's doing or historical society, but make a poster, make a calendar that has all of them on, in one place for people. I think that would be very good.
So what is the JHP? Is the JHPC's role like helping to put that together, or are we thinking like are we going to come up with other ways that we can promote? Are we trying to create our own specific event?
Well,
or what do we?
I think some of the ideas about some of the virtual stuff.
Right.
That seems to me like a really good thing to do, because you're going to have people who are not going to be out doing things, but they can still. I'm sorry, you disappeared for a few minutes, and I have to click to find you again. I think some of that stuff I think would be helpful. The Facebook posts, anything like that. I don't know that you have to do a physical event unless we want to do some kind of awareness. I don't know. You know, it'd be neat if we did something like a. Of course, I don't know if the JHPC would want to do it. Don't really probably suit. But my thing would be, it'd be neat to get people to do like an interview of an elderly person. Do some kind of like a contest. You could do something like that. And just have it submitted, and then we could have people. I mean, that would be nice, something like that. But I'm thinking you more of the promoting it through the social media and any of the virtual stuff that we come up with. I think that that's not my wheelhouse. I can tell you that's not going to be happening from this end. But we have some historic sites and things. We might get a singing out at the Gamaha Chapel. Or, you know, we can do some things like that. That's what I'm better at focusing on with our groups. But the other part is not our strong suit. So I think that might be a good fit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm open. Whatever you guys think. That would just be my first thought.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, if we want to say JHPC is doing an event, we need to make that decision pretty quickly in order, and then figure out, you know, plan it. If we're going to commit to it in a schedule that gets published in the middle of April, we can't back
out. You want to sit way down on the last night.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's kind of a whatever you guys think. I don't know what kind of event you may want to do, unless it was something. Because you're back to gathering, you know, if you wanted to do something where, you could do a slideshow on historic houses, some of the things that are on our historic list that we have locally designated. I mean, you could do something like that. We could do, trying to think, the library, we might could do a display in their cases or something. But, you know, that's, I don't know exactly about that one. That's, that's whatever you guys feel like you're willing to do, because I know that's not my thing. So,
Well, I think Rebecca, that Magaha Chapel thing, I think it would be an easy one, because it's you know, I don't know how often anybody goes in there.
Right.
But I would also think that it might be able to. I mean, Keith Parker has written so much about the area; it almost seems like. The material may already be there.
Oh, it is. It is really a matter of just having Marjorie, who the Historical Society manages that site. Mm-hmm. So basically, we look at a calendar. She's already said we will open the house and do some tours, and then we can do. It's just a matter of they have the people, they have the information. Even if Keith is just out there telling people out in the yard, you know, we're going to go through the area. It does. Mm-hmm. None of these things are going to be huge, long things. That if you're interested in learning more, and again, that's out at Cedar Mountain, which is nice to send people, you know, different parts of the county.
And it's right next to the highway, and you would never see it unless you knew it was there.
Yes, you know.
And it's really a wonderful preservation. I mean, that what they did with that.
Mm-hmm. So I think we have some things to work with in that respect. So I feel like I think we got some good ideas for May. So we just gotta make them happen. Make them go from ideas to concrete.
Right. Well, and I guess one of the things I think, you know, like you said, like a sort of contest, we could And, you know, Ellen, we kind of started this discussion previously, like at the end of last year, where we were possibly looking for photos of, like, the courthouse, like the inside of the courthouse, or we're like, you know, we could ask for pictures and then maybe do, like, a competition out of it, or like then kind of display, depending on how we get them, whether they're in person, like at the library or somewhere, and or it could be on social media so that everybody can kind of see. So I think those are things we could work with that maybe aren't an event per se of doing a, you know, in-person or virtual event. But,
it's an ongoing kind of
thing. It's an ongoing thing, not a Tuesday at 6 to 8, you know, we're doing this.
And if there's a program or event that or something that Rebecca's already working on with the History Museum that, you know, you want some extra support, you can just help with something that you're already talking about doing, too.
Right.
The other thing I thought of was having the dedication resolutions drafted for the county commissioners and for the Brevard City Council, so they're officially announcing it at their meetings that it's the Historic Preservation Month.
Yes.
So that could be something that JHPC drafts and submits.
That would be really good. And used to the National Trust, they had all these tools where you could go as the sample resolutions that you basically print off and put your stuff in. I haven't looked at their sites in a while, but that would be a really good thing to do also.
And I'm sure staff could probably find a prior resolution from a previous month, and we could share that with the committee at your next month so you can fine-tune that draft and update it and get it on a Board of Commissioners agenda in the month of May.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be great. That would be great.
All right. I know we're a little after 5. Do we feel like we have a good handle on Preservation Month and prepared to kind of tackle it pretty heavy next month or next meeting?
Absolutely. And okay. I'll send you guys updates if I get calendar dates. I'll send what I get because I'll get things before then. So.
Okay. All right, I think the next thing, I think, is just a staff report on the agenda.
Yes, you're right. So before I go that, I'm going to ask Ashley, since she's on here, to unmute herself and to introduce herself. Go ahead, Ashley.
Hey guys, I'm Ashley Minnery. I just started in the planning department as administrative support. And this was the committee I was most looking forward to getting to know because I am actually a huge history enthusiast. So, hello, everybody.
All right. Hello.
Welcome, Ashley. We're happy to have you. And I've got a position of the county, so we're looking forward to working with you more in the future.
Hey, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I apologize I didn't get everybody to introduce themselves at the beginning of the meeting, but maybe next month we'll have everybody here and we can do that more effectively.
Yeah, so going off of that, I'm just informing everybody again of the transit fixed route. As you know, earlier or at the end of last month, we kind of opened that up to everyone. This has kind of been kind of the brainchild of April Alm, who's part of the transportation side of our department. Alan, when he came in as interim, helped her out near the end to help her push her through to the finish line. And so just to let you know, you see that link right there that you can go there, and it'll explain a little bit more about what the transit route is. It'll show you the maps and exactly where the stops are. There are two routes, north, which is mostly pretty much from Savemore all the way up to Piscopor, so I think right around Walmart in that area. The south route goes all the way down to Rosman, all the way to, I think, the park and ride outside of Rosman on 64. And so they kind of do loop into each other. It runs Monday through Friday. For now, the north route starts about 7 a.m. The south route starts about 6:30 a.m. Both of them, about 11:10, they kind of start the route over, and then for the end of the day, both of them start about 4:10. And another thing, you said earlier that you weren't sure if we received any applications. We have received an application. As you can see, it's Gebronfield Inn. I believe I'm saying that correctly. I could be not. I'm sorry if I'm not. We have electronic copies of the application, and I will be definitely sending that out to you. I'm not sure if you guys want to look at that for next month, since you kind of sound like you want to kind of focus more on the preservation. We can easily push that back if you would like to. But just let me know if you want to have physical copies. Let me know. I will print them off and have them waiting here at the office, or I can also look into mailing it to you if you want to, whichever you prefer. But that's pretty much it from me.
I think on the call with Christy Brantley, I think the couple that owns that was on that call, weren't they?
Yes, they were. And I've talked to him several times about the application. He actually sent me an advanced copy of it and wanted my feedback. And there were just a few things that I had noticed that on the actual application he had filled out a little incorrectly or missed, and there was a description that needed to be written a little more thoroughly, and that was about it. But yes, they're also former clients of our firm. I don't see any reason to put it off. Do you, Melanie?
I don't. I guess I was just going to say, because I think, you know, we're we do have some time limitations or, you know, guidance once we submit things to the state. And I guess I would hope that Darby, if staff has kind of reviewed it, that y'all should do kind of the first look to kind of make sure that you agree that it is meeting the standards and that you would recommend that we would consider it at our next meeting. I mean, if you think it's incomplete and it's, you know, not there and we need to send it back to them, I don't know if we need to talk about it, but if you feel like it's at a point we can review it, because it's an initial, I'm trying to remember how that works, refresh my memory, I think it's kind of, you know, it's not like we're voting on it at that point, we're kind of reviewing and then recommending, I think, if it goes to the state for review, so. So I don't know when it came in, if you've had a chance to look at it, but if not, that certainly we can kind of discuss before, as we're preparing the agenda for the next meeting.
Yeah, I was able to get a preliminary review of it. I just thumbed through it, didn't really sit down and kind of like look to see if there were anything missing or anything like that. But yeah, by next month, or at least hopefully by the next time we have the agenda meeting, I should be able to tell you, yeah, I'm ready to you know, give you my full thing and go ahead and put it on the agenda or not. So.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I did just get some questions today from one of the owners that, and I'll forward that to you because I just got that email today, so they had some questions. And then, I guess, are there any other public or board member comments? I just wanted to follow up because last month we talked a little bit about the city kind of downtown master plan, and, you know, professionally, I'm involved with the firm that is working with the city to do that, and I know, you know, Darby mailed out the links to that, and some of you did kind of fill that out. You know, I didn't feel it was fair for me to fill it out as sort of the person issuing it, so I didn't really fill it out on behalf of the JHPC. But I do want to kind of follow up, and maybe, you know, at the next meeting so we can talk more about it, and once we get a little better data, that I think, you know, preservation was something that kind of came up as sort of a high priority, or, you know, one of the priorities that people are interested in addition to just our committee talking about that. So it might be that there's ways in the future that we can, you know, maybe some of the things we kind of talked about, maybe more of a recognition program, or, you know, there are other ways that we think, you know, we should really be kind of weaving that more into downtown. We can think about that. I didn't want to I don't want to spend too much time on it now, but just wanted to kind of give a follow-up since we did kind of introduce that at the last meeting. But it was a pleasant surprise to see that there were a lot of people that preservation was, a key priority. So more information to follow. But so any other board members' comments? All right, if not, I appreciate everyone staying on the call a little bit longer to get through everything on our agenda, and look forward to next month and some major planning for Preservation Month. So I guess we'll look for a motion to adjourn.
A motion to be adjourned.
A move.
All right, thank you everyone. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you. Awesome.